Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Aleph. We're beginning three lines from the top, Pei Aleph, Omud Aleph. We left off yesterday discussing various aspects of what is considered eating on Yom Kippur. So we have a similar statement from Rav Yochanan, Omer Rav Yochanan. Rav Shizbi says the name of Yochanan, Zor Shebola Shezifim. If a non-Kohen ate Shezifim, Shezifim Rashi translates as prunes. However, it doesn't mean prunes, it's usually translated as plums. So even though the French word that he uses is prunes, it really means plums. So if a non-Kohen is eating over here, bala, swallowing whole, these shezifim, these plums, shel truma. Of course, a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat plums that are truma. Vehekiyah, and then he spits it up. So he swallowed it, and then he spit it out. The Tosfos Yeshanim brings down that we're dealing here, that it was spat out whole. So the entire item is intact still. So in this situation, if somebody else comes along and eats it, v'achol and acher, another person comes and eats it, he obviously did not realize that the first person had spit it up and that it was something that most of us would not eat in that situation. So in any event, he ate it. So the first person, the non-Kohen who ate this truma, acquired it when he ate it, and Rishon, therefore, is Mishalim. Now the Gersa that we have is Es Karen V'chomish. You can either delete the word Es or not. And the critical thing is he pays Karen and the Chomesh. He pays the principal, plus he has to add on the fifth. Again, we always said the fifth is from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside, so it was $10. He would pay $12.50. So the $2.50 extra that he adds on, it's a fourth from the $10, and it's considered a fifth from the $12.50. That's the Chomesh that the Chomesh always talks about. It's really a fourth, but we would call a fourth from the inside or a fifth from the outside. So he has to pay that extra amount because he ate truma. But now he acquired it, and therefore the second person who ate this plum that the first person had spit out, he had vomited it up, it's intact, so the second person is only going to have to pay for this as if it were firewood. Sheni, Eina Mashalim Elo Dume Eitzim Lorishon Bavad. Because he destroyed something that was worth something to the first person, but it's not worth anything as a spit-out plum, and therefore it is only worth, over here, firewood. So whatever value it had is firewood. So it's worth $10 as the plum, but it's worth 20 cents as firewood, so he only has to pay, the second person only has to pay the first person 20 cents. Now we're at the two dots, and we quote the Mishnah. Ha'ochel v'hashosa e mitzdarfim. We said in the Mishnah that eating and drinking can't be mitzdarf to make the shir. You have to have all the different types of ochlin can be mitzdarf to make the shir of a koseves agasa for food, and all the different types of liquids can be mitzdarf to make the shir of melo lugmug for liquids, but you can't have a half a share of ochel plus a half a share of shishia of drinks in order to be high of a punishment, that they don't combine. That's what the Mishnah said. Nor it says, who is the author of our Mishnah? This is a machlokis between Rabbi Yoshua and the Chachamim, as we will see. So Mantan, who's the author of our Mishnah? So Amar Rechissa says, b'machlokishnu, this is in fact a machlokis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yoshua. And therefore, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yoshua. By Rabbi Yoshua is the author of our Mishnah. The Tanan, because we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah Me'ilah, it tells us that Rabbi Yeshua said, Klalim Rabbi Yeshua, general rule. He said, when you want to combine different things, can you combine them or not? So, for example, Ochila and Shasiya, would you be able to combine them to make the shear? So he says, a general rule, Klalim Rabbi Yeshua, Kol Shetum Oso Vishiuro Shove Mitztarif. If something has the exact same type of tuma and the exact shear, so then they could in fact combine. Rashi explains, Kigon, for example, Shnei Chatzoi Zesim, Mishnei Mason. If you have a half a kezias from mace number one and a half a kezias from ace number two, so the type of tum is the same. They're both talking about tumas mace. And the shear is the same. It's a kezias. So therefore, you could combine a half of a kezias from mace number one with a half a kezias from mace number two and be mitzdarif them together that you have a full kezias, albeit from two maces, but you have a full kezias. Or Mishnei Nevelos, the same that Allah would apply if it was combining two Nevelos because they have the same shear of tumah. Oshtei Chatzoi Adasha. Or even if you're dealing with tuma that's only the size of an adasha, and you have a half from one and a half from another, because they have the same type of tuma and the same type of shiurim. So, for example, you have shnei chatzoy adasha mishnei shrotzim. Shizman tumason, the amount of time that they're tummy for also, shava, the shiurim shava. So, everything is the same over here. The shear is the same. For example, it's Herev Shemesh. It's only going to be tummy. You have to go to the mikveh, there'll be a tuvayom, and then at night. And the shear is the same, that it has to be a chadasha. So therefore, they can combine. So if Rabbi Yeshua says you have both the tumah and the shear the same, so then they can be mitzdarif. However, if you have tumaso, velo shiro, oh, shiro, velo tumaso, then they can't combine. So what is an example of tumas of lo shiuro? So Rashi explains, kigon, if you have a sheretz and a vela. So sheretz is metame b'cha'adasha, and the vela is metame b'chazayis. So both of them have the same type of tumah in that it's only harav shemesh. Shishneyem tumas erev. They both only are making the person tameh till the nightfall. He goes to the mikvah, he's a tuyom, and then at nightfall he's tar. However, ain't shiurim shava, their shiurim for tuma are different. Shezeh b'chazayis, the tuma of nevela is a kizayis, and the tuma of the sheretz is b'chadasha. So that's an example of tumas of lo shiuro. On the other hand, shiuro v'lo tumaso, what is that? So Rashi explains, k'yom meisu nevela. You have over here, the shear is the same. For meis, it's a kizayis. For nevela, it's a kizayis. Shishneim b'chazayis. However, by Tumas Meis, it's a 7-day Tumah, and by Tumah of Nevela, it's only Tumas Erev. So here you have the examples of Kol that we say, Shetumaso Velo Shiro, they have the same Tumah, but not the Shir, or they have the same Shir, Shiro, Velo Tumaso, and certainly, Lo Tumaso, Lo Shiro, and certainly if they're both different. So for example, in this situation, Rashi doesn't give it, but it's obvious, if you're dealing over here with the Tumah of a Sheretz, versus the Tumah of Tumas Meis, so the Shiurim is not the same. One is a Chadasha Sheretz, one is a Kizayis for the Meis, and one is Harav Shemesh for the Sheretz, and one is Shiras Yomim for the Tumas Meis. So here you have Lo Tumas of Lo Shiro, both are different. So then certainly a Mitztarpim. So clearly we see that Rabbi Yeshua is the one that says, unless you have exactly the same Tumaso and Shiuro, which in our Mishnah we don't have, because the shear is different. By Achila, the shear is a Kusevas Agasa, and by Shasi, it's a Malon Lugmav. So therefore, the shear isn't the same, and therefore they're not Mitztarfin. And therefore, Rav Chisda says, the author of our Mishnah is obviously Rabbi Yeshua. On the other hand, Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman Amar, no, Lav Davka, Afilu Tamar Rabbanan. You can even say that our Mishnah goes in accord with the opinion of the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Yeshua, and they say, over there, Ad Kan Lo Ka'amri Rabbanan Hosom Elin Yintumah. There, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yeshua, and they say that even if it's different types of Tumah, they could combine. Even though the Shiurim are different, because the Shem Tumah Chadi, because they all have, quote, Tumah, and therefore all different types of Tumah can combine. However, here, maybe even the Rabbanim would be Moda, by Achila and Shasiya, Aval Hocham, Yishum Yisuve Daitahu. The whole reason that there is a Shir in regards to eating and drinking is because the Chachamim were able to figure out that that is the Shir that will bring about a calmness to the person, a yesuve daita, that will say the person is no longer afflicted. And that's a different shear by eating than it is by drinking. And therefore, this situation, mishum yesuve daitahu, v'haylom yasve daita, combining the two won't reach the level of removing the affliction. So therefore, that's why it doesn't combine, and maybe even the chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Yeshua in regards to tumah, would not argue necessarily over here in regards to achila and shasiya. So Lav Davka is our Mishnah, Das Yochel, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Nachman says our Mishnah could even be the opinion of the Chachamim. And we have the same exact machlokas between Rav Chisda and Rabbi Nachman with earlier Amoraim. B'chein Amar Reish Lakish, b'machlokish Shnuya, Reish Lakish held Rav Chisda and said that this is a machlokas. Our Mishnah holds Rabbi Yeshua and doesn't hold like the Chachamim. Rabbi Shuhi, and our author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua. Ditnan, he brings down the same Mishnah, Klalim Rabbi Yeshua v'chulei. We don't go through the exact same discussion again, but it is the exact same discussion. He says that the only time that you're mitzdarif is if the shiurin and tumah are the same, so achil and shasiya don't have the same shiur, they're not mitzdarif. And along comes Rav Yochanan, who says like Rav Nachman, afil tam rabbanan, he says, no, it could even be the opinion of the rabbanan, because only in there, by tumah, they have an argument, because by tumah, one could argue that all tumah is the same. I can lo kama and rabbanan hasam elalinyan tumah, because all tumah is the same. Shem tumah ho. And therefore, that's why he argues with Rabbi Yeshua. But who says the Chacham argue with Yeshua in regards to Achil v'Shasiya? Because Aval Hocham Yishum Yisuvi Daiti. They agree and understand that it's only the amount that is going to remove affliction. And that amount is going to be different between eating and drinking. And therefore they can't combine. V'haylo ka miyasva daite. Here it won't accomplish that. So Rabbi Yochanan says, just like Rav Nachman, that maybe the Chachamim could be the author of our Mishnah as well. You don't have to make a Das Yochid of Rabbi Yeshua. Now we go to the next Mishnah. This is a famous concept that we have throughout the Mishnayos, throughout Shas, that a person is obligating to bring a Karban Chatas if he does something behelam achas, if it's in one lapse of understanding, one mistake that he makes. So if he eats, for example, multiple kizesim of chalev and he doesn't realize it, he didn't know it was chalev, so he eats 10 kizesim, he doesn't bring 10 Karban Chatas. But if he eats a kezayis of chaylev, and then he finds out that's chaylev, then he forgets. And he eats another kezayis, then he would have to bring two karmachatos, because it's not helam achas. So here the Mishnah tells us, ochal b'shosu b'helam echad. If a person ate and drank during this forgetfulness that it was Yom Kippur, during this lapse of knowing that it's Yom Kippur, he knows he's not allowed to drink on Yom Kippur, he knows he's not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and he made a mistake and he forgot. So ochal b'shosu b'helam echad. So enu chayv elo chatas achas. He only has to bring one chatas because achila and shasiya are one category, and therefore we don't consider this as two separate melachos that he did during this helam achas, as opposed to aval. If he were to have forgotten and he ate and he did malacha, now that's two categories. And just like on Shabbos, if you forget that it's Shabbos and you do multiple malachos, so for each malacha, you're going to have to bring a separate chatas. So if he ate on Yom Kippur and he also did malacha on Yom Kippur, so then in this situation, Chayiv Shnei is the Gersa that we have, but since the word is feminine, so it should be Shtei. And therefore, the Mesor Seshas changes around to Shtei Chatos. He's going to be obligated to bring a separate Chatos for the Achila and a separate Chatos for the Melacha, as opposed to eating and drinking, which is one Chatos. Then the Mishnah tells us, Ochal Ochlin She'enon Re'uyin Le'achila. If a person ate something that is not a food, he ate something, but it's not considered a food. Or, or he drank something which is not normally potable. It's not normally something that one would drink. So the Bach adds the word over here, and there goes the Bach. He says, in this situation, potter. A person is not going to be chayev a chatas in this situation. It's also, you shouldn't do this. However, it is not a chiyav that you're going to be chayev a chatas for, because it's not something that's edible. It's not something that's potable. Then we have the gears according to the Bach, shosa, not this shosa. Shasa tzir umarius potter. If a person were to drink tzir, Rashi elsewhere tells us that tzir is fish brine. Hanotet min hadogim kishikov shinosam. This is what comes out of the fish when you go and stew it. Bimichvash, when you like put it in a juice and you let it stew for a day. So that brine that comes out of the fish is called tzir. And this is normally made from kirbe dogim, from the insides of the fish. Now, Marius, what's that? That's the Schumann Shodogen. That's some sort of a schmaltz that comes out from the fish, fatty stuff from the fish. So if a person were to drink these things, which are arguably liquids, and one might have thought that you'd be chayef for drinking these liquids, but they're really only used as dips. So they're really something like a solid in terms of their functionality. So they would combine, for example, to make the share of a solid, but if you just drink them, shasa tzir umorius, then you would be potter. That is not considered something that is a liquid, and therefore it is going to be potter. You're not going to be chayv achatas if you go and drink it. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Mipnei ma lo nemra azhara b'inoy. Why didn't the Torah specify specifically? We know that there's a general rule, Ein onshin elo im kein masirin. We don't give a punishment unless there's a warning. So the Torah always will give us the warning, don't do this, and then it'll tell us, and if you do this, this is the punishment. So why doesn't it say, in regards to the inuyim of Yom Kippur, a warning? Why, Mipnei ma lo nemra azhara b'inoy? Why is there no official formal warning in regards to the inuyim of Yom Kippur? After all, it only tells us the inisem es nafsho sechem, which is really a positive thing. You shall afflict yourself. That's a mitzvah saseh, which albeit we treat it as a mitzvah lo saseh, that you can get actually malchus for it, but it doesn't put it into the normal format of don't do something. It says you shall afflict yourself, which is a positive way of saying do not let yourself go and be unafflicted. In other words, don't eat, don't drink. And therefore, why does it say it that way? So the Gemara says, Mishum Delo Efsha, because there was no other choice. What would you suggest that we say in order to have it in a negative way, to say, do not go and not afflict yourself? Hechi Nichtov, how should we write it? Nichtov Rechbono Lo Yochal, if the Torah were to have said, do not eat, so then I wouldn't know that the Shir is a Kuksevis Agasa. I would have said, it said, do not eat, and Achila is B'chazayis. Every place that we have Achila, it always means a Kazayis. So that's why it couldn't say, as do not eat on Yom Kippur, because then we think that the Shir is a Kazayis, which is a smaller volume than a Kuksevis Agasa. Let the Torah write, do not be afflicted. Well, that's the opposite. That would imply, kum echol mashma, that go and eat, which of course is not what you're supposed to do on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, well, why did you do this? Maskev of Roshaya says, nichtov rachmona, let the Torah write, hishomer, one should be very careful, pen, lest you, lo sune, not afflict yourself. And this way, it's in a negative form. Be very careful that you should not go and not afflict yourself. So the Gemara says, if you were to do that, then it would be like a double lav, because you have Hishomer and Pen. Imkain Nefishe Lehulade. In this situation, if you wrote it in that format, Hishomer Pen, so that would imply two lavim, and the Torah only wanted to give us one lav if you didn't afflict yourself on Yom Kippur. As Rashi points out, Hishomer and Pen, Shneim would be a lo sase. Banan, lav, echad aminin. And the Torah only tells us that there's one lo sase over here, and the Torah, Shema, lo rotsu laharbos bolavin. For whatever the reason, the Torah didn't want us to have two lavin over here. So again, we have another option. Maskev lo Rabbi Barabaya. Rabbi Barabaya says, why didn't the Torah write, Nichtzor Rachmona, Hishomer, b'mitzvah sinoi. Be very, very careful that you don't transgress the mitzvah of inoi, which is to make sure that you remain afflicted. So that sounds like it's one lav. Gemara says, no. Im Kain, in that situation, Hishomer of a lav, Hishomer the lav is a lav, but Hishomer the assay would be an assay. Then we wouldn't have a los assay over here. If you wrote it in this format, Hishomer, you should be careful with the mitzvah inui, which is an assay. So then you should afflict yourself. So then it would turn out it'll be an assay and not a lav. So you can't write it that way either. So that's not a good solution. So Gemara says, finally, Maskev lo Ravashi. Ravashi says, I got the answer. You know what the Torah could have written? The Torah could have said, Nichtov al tosur minoinoi. Do not turn away from becoming afflicted. And therefore, that would be just a simple lo sase. The Gemara says, Yerai taka kasha. The Torah could have written that for whatever the reason. When we write kasha, it means that there is a reason. Just the Gemara doesn't mention it. So for whatever the reason, the Torah decided to write the inu as nafshosechem rather than writing al tosur minoinoi. Now the Gemara is going to go into a detailed discussion. We'll take some muscle rest shir, discussing how do we know that there is, you have to always have ein onshin elam kin masirim. So what are the warnings and what are the punishments that are written in regards to the malacha on Yom Kippur and as well the achila and shasiya prohibition on Yom Kippur. And as well, there's a special din of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, which is a paradigm for other halachos where we add on before and add on afterwards. You have this with Hilchos Shabbos, you have this with Hilchos Yom Tov, and you have this with Shemitah. So there are other dinim where we add on a time period which is permissible beforehand. It's called Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, and we add on a time period afterwards. So these are the basic dinim that we're now going to discuss. We're going to discuss a lot of pesukim in Chumash. So we start off and say, V'tayna Maisi Lo Mihocha. Now, this is actually a brisa that's found in more detail elsewhere, and it is found in Torah's Kohanim, and we're jumping like right into the middle of it. So he's asking, how do we know that there is a prohibition, a warning, against eating and drinking on Yom Kippur? Achila v'shasiya on Yom Kippur. So this Tana of this brisa in Torah's Kohanim tells us, the Tana ma'isi lo mihocha. He learns out the warning from the following. The pasuk tells us v'inisem es nafshosechem, that pasuk which we've been discussing, and then it says v'chol milacha lo sasu. So after it says v'inisem es nafshosechem, which is telling us to afflict ourselves in a positive sense, how do we know that that means do not go and eat and drink? Because it says right after that v'chol milacha lo sasu. It also tells us that you're not allowed to do any milacha. So it compares the hekesh over here between the inui and milacha. And therefore, yocho yehi onush alto sefes melacha. Now he says, you might have thought that you also are going to be punished on the extra time that you had before Yom Kippur and the extra time that you had after Yom Kippur. You have to be mosif, we'll see why, to Yom Kippur, this tosefes Yom Kippurim, that you have before and afterwards. So you might have thought that you should get the onush of kares if you were to go and eat during that extra period of time or do melacha during that extra period of time. So it's telling us now, yocho yehi onush Al-Tosefes Melacha. One might have thought that once you accept upon yourself Yom Kippur, that if you do Melacha then, you will be Chayiv Kares during this Tosefes period of time. So Talmud Lomar. We have another pasuk that tells us, B'chol ha-nefesh asher taseh kol melacha bi-etzem ha-yom hazeh. It's only if you do it, Melacha bi-etzem ha-yom hazeh, during the day, this actual day. Only then, the pasuk concludes, V'avadati ha-nefesh ahi mikarev amah. I will kill you with Kares. So therefore, I might have thought that you should get this kares on Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So the pasuk says only be'etzem ha-yom hazeh alitzumo shel yom onish kares. During the daytime of Yom Kippur, that's when you get kares. However, ve'eno onish kares, but you don't get kares al Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, al Tosefes melacha. If you do melacha during the Tosefes period of time, you're not chayiv kares. Okay, great. Granted, you're not chayiv kares if you do melacha during the tosefes period of time. However, aval yehi onish kares al tosefes inoy. But you should get kares for inoy if you eat and drink during that period of time and remove the affliction during the tosefes period of time. Then you should get kares. No, again, the pasuk says ki kol nefesh shelo suneh be etzem hayom hazeh the nechusah. Only be etzem hayom hazeh will you get nechusah, and not during the tosefes. Alitzumo shoyom onish kares. Only during the daytime, if you don't afflict yourself, if you eat or drink, will you get kares. However, the eino onish kares al tosefes inui. But if you during the tosefes period of time eat or drink, you're not chayiv kares. Okay, so both for melacha and for inui, you're not chayiv kares during the tosefes period of time, but maybe it's a lav. Okay, you don't get kares. You should at least be over a lav, and therefore get malchus. So the Gemara says, no, Talmud Lomar. Again it says, b'chol melacha lo sasu, b'etzem hayom hazeh. Tells us, b'etzem hayom hazeh, alitzuma yishol yom hu muzar. You're warned that it's a lav during the day. However, v'eino muzar al tosefes melacha, but you're not going to get a malchus. It's not a lav during the tosefes period of time. Where it continues and says, Yochalei Muzer al Tosefes Melacha. Okay, that's what Tosefes Melacha. Avoye Muzer al Tosefes Inoy. But at least get a lav for Inoy, eating during that period of time. You won't get kares. And this is through Kal v'chomer, v'dinu. Umaba locha sheno heges b'shabbosos v'yomim tovim. Melacha is something that is also not only in Yom Kippur, it's also in Shabbos and Yom Tov. And nevertheless, eino muzer alea. Nevertheless, you don't have a warning that you get a lav during the Tosefes period of time. So certainly, Inoy, which is only a din in Yom Kippur, she'ena noig b'Shabbos and Yom Tovim. It has no application on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You'll have to eat to your heart's content, so mitzvah to eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So then, certainly, ain't no din, shle yimuzer olav. So certainly, there is no lav. And therefore, that's how we know that not only is there no kares for inui umelacha during the Tosefes period of time, but there's not even a lav during the Tosefes period of time for both melacha and through this Kal v'chomer for inui as well. The Braisa goes on and says, but right now we still don't have a warning, so we need an asara for inui on the day of Yom Kippur itself. So, minayin, where do we know that you're not allowed to go and eat on Yom Kippur? After all, we only have v'nisavis nafshos sechem. Where does it tell us that if you don't do this, then you're going to be over a lav that's a chiyuv of kares? As hara le'inu shayom atzvo lo lamadu. So minayim, what is the source? So the Gemara says, the Braisa continues, lo yomar onesh b'melacha the gomar mi'inoy. You didn't have to write the onesh by melacha because we could have learned that out from inoy. How would we have done that? Uma inoy she'eno noheg b'shabbosos v'yomim tovim. There is no problem of inoy on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Nevertheless, onush kares, the onush is kares. That's what the Pasuk Befeirish says. So certainly melacha, work, which is noheges b'shabbosos v'yomim tovim, that you're not allowed to work on Shabbos and Yom Tov, as well as Yom Kippur. So certainly, lo kol shekein. So just like you have a warning over there, so you don't need to tell me the warning over here. As the Braisa continues, melacha shino heges b'shabbosos yom tovim lo kol shekein. So certainly the din should apply with melacha, which is applicable by Shabbos and Yom Tov. So lama nemar. So why does that have to say kares for working? That should be learned out from inui. Ella what? It's a gzeira shava that's mufna. It's an open gzeira shava. Mufna lahakish v'ladun mimenu gzeira shava. This is to teach us the following gzeira shava. Nemar onesh b'inui. It tells us the onesh of kares in regards to inui. And v'nemar onesh b'melacha. And it tells us the word kares by melacha. And we compare the two through this gzeira shava. Ma melacha lo onash elohim kein hitzir. By melacha, you only get kares if you were warned. So too, af inui lo onash elohim kein hitzir. So too, by the inui, you don't get the punishment unless you were warned. And therefore, you don't need a separate pasuk to teach us this by Yom Kippur, because it's learned out through this gzeira shava. Where it says, no, ikal mifrach, you could slug up this gzeira shava. How is that? You could argue, Malo inoy shlohuta michlalo. You can't learn out from inoy to melacha because inoy is never, ever permitted under any circumstances, as opposed to tomar mi melacha shehutra michlalo. melacha you're sometimes allowed to do. What work are you allowed to do? You're allowed to bring korbanos on Shabbos and Yontif. You're allowed to bring korbanos on Yom Kippur. That is a type of melacha that would not be allowed except if it was an avoda. So here there are exceptions to the rule. So therefore, you can't learn out from inui, which is lohut amiklolo, to melacha, which is hutra miklolo under certain situations. So Gemara says, Taka, that's right. But it continues and says, Ella, this is the following, Kseir Shava. Lo yomar onesh bi'inui. Don't tell me onesh by inui, because the gomar mi melacha, because I can learn it out from melacha. Now, ma melacha shehutra miklala onesh kareis. If melacha, which under certain circumstances is permissible, nevertheless the punishment is kareis, so certainly, alach skama v'kama, inui shalohuta miklala, inui which is never permitted, so certainly lo koshikin, there should be chayiv kareis. So therefore, lo menemar, why does it have to tell me it? So Gemara says, oh, here it's mufna gzereshava, mufna lahakish v'lodim imen gzereshava. It's free and open to be able to teach us the following gzereshava to compare to melacha on Yom Kippur. Nemar onish minoy, because it says onish by inoy, and the nemar onish by melacha, and it says onish by melacha. It says karis by both of them. Ma melacha onish v'hizir. So too by melacha, where you're warned and there's the punishment stated. So too af inoy onish v'hizir. So therefore, that's how you learn it out. Where it says, no, he have also, you could crumble this, ikal lemifrach, you could slug up this kavachomer as well, by saying, ma lemilocha, work, shekein noheges, bishabos, yom tovim, work, you know why it's able to have this din? Because it's also not only by Yom Kippur, it's also by Shabbos and Yontif. So you can't learn out, that's a more all-encompassing din, you can't learn out that this din should apply to inoy. Tomar b'inoy, she'enu noy b'shabbos v'yom tovim. Maybe it doesn't apply. It's only something that's so widespread. It's on Shabbos, it's on Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur that you can say the onesh and the asara. But who says that you can learn that out to inoy? So what says you're right? Talk again. We're stuck. So I'm Ravina. Ravina says, no. We have other words in the pasuk that tell us this. This Tana, Hayitana, learns it out through the following Zerishava, etzem gomar. It says, etzem yomazeh, etzem yomazeh, etzem etzem gomar, and this is how he learns out melacha and inui, and this is totally extra mufne. It's totally extra because if it wasn't totally extra, the ilo mufne ikol lemifrach kideparchino. Okay, and we could slug it up because of the things that we said that inui has that melacha doesn't have, or melacha has that inui doesn't have. But if it's totally extra, so then we don't have this problem. Now, why is it totally extra? Because Mor says lie afnuye mufne. It is totally extra because Chamisha kroy ksivei b'melacha. There are five psukim that tell us you're not allowed to do melacha on Yom Kippur. We have four of them in Vayikra and one in Parshas Pinchas, which is this week's coming Parsha. So chamisha kroy ksivei b'melacha. There are five psukim that deal with the issur of melacha. And one we use, chad liasara diyamama. One is used for the asara that you're not allowed to do work during the day of Yom Kippur. The chad liasara delelia. And one you're not allowed to work during the night of Yom Kippur. Those two of the psukim. The chad lionesh diyamama. And then we need one to tell us the punishment for doing work kares during the day. And then we need another one, laonesh delelia, to tell me kares at night. So we've used up four of these psukim. And the fifth one is totally unnecessary. There's nothing else left. I have a warning and an onish, a warning and onish for day and night. And therefore, the fifth one, the chad, liafnuye, is totally free, and we can use it, lemigbar inoy mimelocha, beim diyamama, beim delelya, and we can use it to compare inoy to melocha, both during the day and during the night. And that's how this Tana learns it out. On the other hand, we have another drasha system. Devei Rabbi Yishmol Tana, in the base medrash Rabbi Yishmol, they learn the following way. It says, Nemar kan inoy. It says in regards to Yom Kippur, inoy. And it also says in regards to a Nara Murasa, the Nemar lahalim by Nara Murasa also says inoy. Rashi brings down, Advar Shaino es Ashes Reyehu. So therefore, it also tells us there that you're not allowed to do this inoy. Now we compare Yom Kippur to the Nara Murasa. Malahalim lo onash elam kein hisir. Just like over there by the Nara Murasa, you wouldn't be punished unless there was a warning, and there is both a warning and a punishment. It says, Valeshis amischa lo sitain shechav techol uzora, and it says, lo sinof. So you have, by Nara Murasa, it also has it onish, and it has the asara. So too over here, avkan lo onash elam kein hisir. So too, by inui, by Yom Kippur, since we're comparing it to inui, to the Nara Murasa, so it also therefore is included, according to Dei Rabbi Yishmol, in both an Asara and the Onesh. Or gives it the other teretz. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, he says, Yolif Shabbos Shabboson. It says in regards to Yom Kippur, it's called Shabbos Shabboson. And we learn that out from Shabbos in general. I mean, Shabbos Bereishis. Shabbos Bereishis is the way the Gemara always calls a regular Shabbos, because it was created during the week of Bereishis, on the seventh day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shabbos. So therefore, we learn out Shabbos Shabboson, calling Yom Kippur, from regular Shabbos. And just like Mal Halalu Onosh Elam Kein Hizu, by regular Shabbos, we have many examples of where there's Azhara and there's Onesh, so too, Avkan Lo Onosh Elam Kein Hizu. So we compare this to Yom Kippur. And just like by Shabbos, you have the Onesh and the Azhara, so too by Yom Kippur, you have the Onesh and the Azhara. Another teretz, Rapapa Amar, and we turn to Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Rapapa tells us that we learn it out from the following, from Yom Kippur itself. We don't have to say Shabbos Shabboson. Hu Gufei Shabbos Ikre. It is called Shabbos. Dechsev Tishbisu Shabbatchem. It says Mitisha B'Chodesh Be'erev Me'erev Ad Erev Tishbisu Shabbatchem. So therefore, Yom Kippur is called Shabbos. So therefore, it automatically, you don't need a Shabbos Shabboson to compare it to Shabbos. It's called Shabbos itself. Someone says, oh, we understand, Bishlam Rapapa, we understand why he didn't say Lo Amar Krav Achav Bar Yaakov, that you learn it out for Shabbos Shabboson, because the Kro, the Chsiv, Begufei, is Adiv. Because saying that it's Tishbisu Shabbatchem is better than saying Shabbos Shabboson and compare it to Shabbos. So we understand why Rapapa didn't like Rav Achav Bar Yaakov. But no, why didn't Rav Achav Bar Yaakov like Rav Papa's drasha? After all, it's Begufei. Ela Rav Achav Bar Yaakov, my time of Lo Amar Krav Papa, why didn't he say like Rav Papa? So the Gemara says, because he needs Shabbat Shabboson to teach us another drasha. What is that? Because the pasuk says, "V'inisem es nafsho sechem b'sishul achodesh." Now it says b'sishul achodesh, but erev me erev ad erev tishbisu Shabboschem. He needs that because yochol yaschil v'yisana b'tisha. Sounds like you should start fasting on the 9th. Now Talmud Lomar, it says, "B'erev you have to fast. No, only at nighttime." No, if it's Ba'erev, Iba'erev, Yochum is Teshchach. It means only after the sun is set. Tamaloma B'tisha, but it says you have to fast on the 9th. So which one is it? Okay, Tzad. Is it fasting on the 9th, or is it fasting only on the 10th? Seems to be contradictory, internally contradictory. Someone says, no. Maschil u'misanem ibojom. You have to start Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. You have to start fasting while it's still the 9th, and not wait until it's the 10th. This teaches us the concept that you have to add on to Yom Kippur a little bit of the 9th is also fasting. That would only be at the beginning of Yom Kippur. How do we know we also have to add on at the end of Yom Kippur? You have to add on both at the beginning, Tosef Yom Kippur, and at the end, Tosef Yom Kippur. And how do we know that? Talmud Lomar, it says, Mei Erev Ad Erev. Both of them have to have a little bit before and a little bit after. No, vainly Ela Yom Kippurin. This then would only be for Yom Kippur. Now we have then Yom Tovi Minayim, but the Masoras Hashas changes this around that it should be Shabbos, because Shabbos is first. Shabbos is greater than Yom Tiv. So therefore, I only know this din by Yom Kippur. How do I know it by Shabbos? That would be the first din that we'd learn out. So it should be Shabbosus Minayin. So that's what we need. The Pasuk Talmud Lomar Tishbisu Shabboschem to teach me that it includes Shabbos. Oh, Ainli Ela, now the gifts we have is Yomim Tovim, but as we just change it around, Ainli Ela Shabbosos, and it should be now Yomim Tovim Minayin. How do we know that this din of Tosefes applies to both Shabbos and Yontiv? How do we know it applies to Yontiv? Tamaloma, Shabbatchem. So this comes to include anything that is Shvus, anything that is Sit, anything that is not doing Melocha. Ketzad, our others have the gifts over here, Holomadita, that you learn it out, Komokum Shinemar Shvus. Now again, the gifts that we have is Mikan Shemosifin, but it really makes sense to say Mosifin Mechol Ala Kodesh. This teaches us a concept that you can add for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, as well as Yom Kippur, Tosefes. You have to add on at the beginning and at the end a little bit extra. And it's not only that, it's any place, Komok Shemar Shvus. And it says Shvus also by Shemitah. We're coming up on a Shemitah year this year in Eretz Yisrael. So we have to begin to discuss and learn the laws of Shemitah. So it tells us that this didn't apply to Shemitah, that there's a Tosefes by the Shemitah year. You start Shemitah year from things that are even before Rosh Hashanah. And that's partially based upon this drasha. Nudigmar says, that's all wonderful, fine. What does the other Tana do with this? The Tana, the Etzem Etzem, the Tana that we just darshan before that says, we learned it out from the Etzem HaYom HaZeh, the Etzem HaYom HaZeh. Hi, B'tisha L'Chodesh, my Ovid Lev. What does he need this whole drasha for? No, he needs it for something else. Midifti. He needs this for the drasha that Chia Barav from Difti taught us. What is that? The Tani Chia Barav Midifti. Chia Barav from Difti taught us the following. The pasuk says, "V'nisim esnaf shosechem b'sisha." You have to go and afflict yourself on the 9th. Nu v'chibetisha b'sanin. Are you fasting on the 9th? But lo be'esra b'sanin. But you're fasting on the 10th. So he needs it for the following famous drasha. El lo malach. To teach us. If somebody eats and drinks on the 9th day, the Torah considers such a person as if he, in fact, fasted on the 9th and on the 10th. Now, it's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th, but the whole mitzvah of eating on the 9th is to allow you to fast on the 10th. So if you're eating with the proper kavanas on the 9th, so then it's as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. So you're accomplishing a little bit what the idea of the pasuk is, even though that practically isn't what the pasuk is telling us to do. This is such a beautiful minhag that people eat on the 9th. There are great gedolim that would have a sucking candy in their mouth all day on the 9th, or they would be eating little things, munching all day long on the 9th, to fulfill this idea that eating on the 9th is, if a person does this with the right kavanas, is as if he fasted on the 9th and on the 10th. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ochal ochlin she'en ruyin le'achila. The Mishnah said, if you eat a food that's not edible, so then you're potter from karis. You're not a din of karis. If you drink something that's not potable, so then you're potter from karis. So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava tells us, what about if a person is kas? Kas is the word that we use for chewing. It's an abnormal way of eating a food. So if a person is kas, pilpule biyoma dikipure. If a person chews, now pilpule is normally peppers, but it doesn't mean a green pepper or a red pepper, yellow pepper. Here it means something more like a hot pepper, something that you put into something purely for spicing it up and not eating purposes. So if a person chews on one of these hot peppers, so then this type of pilpuli on Yom Kippur is not considered food, and therefore you're potter. Similarly, kas zangvila. Zangvila is ginger. If a person chews ginger, it's not a food. So if you chew ginger on Yom Kippur, biyoma dekippuri, so then potter. Also, both of these things fit in with this discussion of the Mishnah that said if it's not something that's royally achila, it's not something that's normally eaten, so then you're not chayiv for eating it on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to eat it, but you're not chayiv kares, you're not chayiv malkis. If you eat it on Yom Kippur, you're potter from those punishments. So these peppers, these hot peppers, or this ginger is not considered a food. More questions this. More says, wait a second, Meisvei, Hoy Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir said, Mimash Mashenemar, the Pasuk says, Varaltem, or Loso Es Pirio, the Pasuk says, V'chisavo El Aretz, Unetatem Kol Eitz Machal, and you plant all fruit-bearing trees, and then, during the next 3 years, Varaltem, or Loso Es Pirio, Shaloshonim Yelechem Areilim, Lo Yeochel. So this Pasuk tells me that it's going to be Orla from a fruit tree. So any Yodeash Eitz Maichalu, so obviously if it's Arla, it's producing fruit. So you have to tell me that it's an Eitz Maichal. Elamat Tamalomar Eitz Maichal. Why did you have to tell me it's an Eitz Maichal? I would know that if the fruits from it are going to be Arla for 3 years, it's obviously a fruit-bearing tree. So it teaches us Eitz Shetan Eitz Superior Shabbat. This is the cup to teach us that the wood of the tree and the fruits of the tree have the same taste. Meaning, Heavy Omer, Zel Pilpulin. The only example of this that they have now is this pilpulin, is this sharp pepper, this spicy pepper type of a tree. Now, La Medcha, the Pasuk is telling us, Eitz Machal, to teach us, Sha Pilpulin, Chayav and Barla, that these peppers are in fact Chayav and Arla. The Ein Eretz Yisrael, Chaseru Klum. And by the way, it also is coming to tell us that Eretz Yisrael is everything. There's nothing missing from Eretz Yisrael. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Lo Sechzar Kolbo. There's nothing missing from Eretz Yisrael. The bottom line is, you see clearly that this pilpulin is considered a fruit. Now, if it's considered fruit, that means it's edible, because it's a din of a fruit. So how can you tell me that if you're kas this pilpuli on Yom Kippur, that you're going to be potter? So one says, no, that's an easy answer. Lo kasha. Depends what type of pepper you're talking about. When we said over here that we consider it like an orla, we consider it a fruit, that's when it's nice and moist. Ha biritivasa. But when we say that it's not considered, that if you eat it on Yom Kippur, it's chewing something that's not considered edible, that's biyaveshta. That's when it's very dried out. So then, these spicy peppers, jalapeno pepper, something the person doesn't eat jalapeno peppers, right? So this type of pepper, if it's moist, then it's taka food. And therefore, it would be chayv and orla. And in fact, it would be something that if you eat on Yom Kippur, you'd have a problem. It would be overeating on Yom Kippur. However, when it's all dried out, so then it is not considered a fruit, it's not considered food, and therefore, even if you eat it on your kippur, you'd be potter. Now, Rav had said another statement, and we're going to challenge that as well. Amalei Ravina lemir meimar. Ravina said to meimar, Vamar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Hey, himlusa, this hemlusa. What's hemlusa? So Rashi tells us it's a foreign word called liturgia, and that's shemefatmin besamim ketushim bidvash. This is something that you fatten up with certain spices, honey. And it has this ginger, this zangvila inside of it as well. So this himlasa, hi himlasa, the asim be hindoi, it comes from hindoi. Rashi tells us that this means Kush, which is usually translated as Ethiopia. In other places, we translate Kush as India. In any event, wherever this comes from, mibe hindoi, so it's shaya, is permitted to go and eat this. Now, what are we talking about permitted to eat it? So Rashi explains that it doesn't have the status of being bishule nochrin, because even if a Jew is not allowed to eat something that a non-Jewish person has cooked, because of Bishul Akum, this is not something that falls under that rubric, because Shenechal Kemo Shuchai, something that's eaten raw, so even if a guy is Mavashalit, there is no din of Bishul Akum. As well, he says, Velomishum Giulei Nochrim, doesn't have the status of Giulei Nochrim as well, because the taste that would come out of their kalim, the Nosein Tam Lefgam, it imparts a bad taste, a negative taste, and the Midaraisa, a negative taste is permissible. And furthermore, so the bottom line is, Rashi tells us, that this is something that is eaten raw. In other words, it's eaten. Now it's ginger. And the Gemara also adds, and one makes a bar pri adam on it. So how can you tell me, Rava, that it's not considered, in your second part of your statement, you said that if a person chews this ginger, that he's not going to be chayiv on your kippur. Here we clearly see that it's a vegetable. So why aren't you chayiv for eating it? So again, the same test as we gave a minute ago, Lokasha. When are you making a bracha on it? When is it considered something that is a vegetable? Ha, birutivaso. That's when it's moist and it's delicious and then it's a food. However, ha, biyavashta. When we said, according to Rava, that you're not chayef eating in Yom Kippur, that's talking about when it's dried out. Mark continues, says, Tana Rabbanu, we learn the following in the Braisa. Ochal ale konim. If a person were to go and eat the leaves of these konim, of these reeds. So potter, that's also not something that's considered a normal food, and therefore you're potter for eating it on Yom Kippur. Lulave gefanim. However, if a person were to eat the vines, lulale gefanim, or like the grape vines, so then in that situation, you would be chayav. That is considered something that is edible. So the Gemara says that the Ali Konim are not considered a normal food, whereas the Lulalbe Gifonim are. Now the Gemara says, Eluhem Lulalbe Gifonim. Define for me what are these Lulalbe Gifonim. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Migdalah. Rav Yitzchak, who came from a place known as Migdalah, he said that the definition of these Lulalbe Gifonim are Kol Shel Livlevu Me Rosh Hashanah V'Yad Yom Kikurim. They're only considered edible if they just grew in the period of time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So they're fresh, they're new, and they haven't had a chance to really harden. So therefore, they're edible during this short period of time. But if it's earlier than Rosh Hashanah, according to Rav Yitzchak Migdalah, they wouldn't be considered edible. On the other hand, Rav Kahana Amar, no, Kol Shloshim Yom. As long as they were within 30 days of Yom Kippur, they're still considered edible. So he adds on an additional 20 days before Rosh Hashanah that they're still considered edible. The Gemara says, Tanya Kavase, we have a brisa in support of the Rav Yitzchak Migdalah, the first sheet that we brought down from Yitzchak Migdalah, that it's only between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that they're considered edible. Because the brisa tells us, Ochal ale konim potter, just like we had said, if you eat the leaves of these konim, these reeds, so they're potter, they're not considered edible. But the lulave gefanim, you are considered edible, they are considered edible, and therefore you're chayiv if you eat them. And what is the definition of these lulave gefanim? Elohim lulave gefanim, that you'd be chayiv for if you eat them. Only the fresh ones, Kol Shel Livlevu, May Rosh Hashanah, V'Yad Yom Kippur. Only those that grow in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Just like Rav Yitzchak Migdalah said, Tanya Kavase, the Rav Yitzchak Migdalah. Then in the Mishnah we said as well, if a person drinks these things that are normally used as dips, this Shasa Tzir, the fish brine, or Muria, so the fish fats, so then Potter. That's not considered something that if you drink it, then it's a beverage, and therefore you're Potter. Again, Potter Avalasar, but you're not going to be Chayiv Kares, you're not going to be Chayiv Malkus. So, for the fact that it only told us Tzir and Marius, the Gemara wants to suggest, Ha Chometz, if you drink pure vinegar, you would be Chayiv. Now, who's the author of our Mishnah that says this? Masnisin Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah that says that drinking Chometz, vinegar, is in fact something that is considered a beverage, and if you drink a Melo Lugmav, you'd be Chayiv Kares, you'd be Chayiv Malkus. So the Gemara says, Rabbi he, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the great Rabbi. The Tanya, Rabbi Omer, because the Braisa says befeirish, the Rabbi holds chometz meishiv es hanefesh. Vinegar is meishiv es hanefesh, as Rashi says, umavata l'seinoi. It will therefore remove affliction. And therefore, If you drink it, you're going to remove the affliction. That is the definition of v'nisim esnafsho seichem. So therefore, if you have a melo lugma of vinegar, of chometz, you would in fact be chayev. That is Rebbe's opinion. Now, Dorosh Rav Gidul Bar Menashe mi birei denarish. Rav Gidul Bar Menashe came from a place known as birei denarish. He said as follows: Ain halacha k'Rebbe. He paskin that we don't hold like Rebbe that you're chayev if you drink vinegar. It's not an issa d'oraisa that you be chayev kares. You get malchus. Now, everybody listen to a shiur dutifully and l'shana haba. The next year on Yom Kippur, everybody drank vinegar. They all brought little canisters of vinegar to shul and they drank it. Nafki kuli alma. Everybody came to shul. Mazgu, they diluted their vinegar with water. V'shasu chala, and they drank this vinegar on Yom Kippur. Now, Rav Gidl was not happy about this. Shama Rav Gidl bar Menashe bibiri nedarish. So Rav Gidl heard this. V'ikvid, he got very upset. He said, "That's not what I said. You're misquoting me." Amar, he said, "Amar the Amre ana. When did I say that you're allowed to have this vinegar? That's only bidyeved, the avad. If you went and drank it, okay, I wouldn't give you malchus. I wouldn't tell you that you chayiv kares. But that doesn't mean that I lichatchila allow you to go and drink it. Lichatchila mi amre. Whoever said that I said that lichatchila? And furthermore, emor di amre ana. When did I say that you could drink it after the fact? It was portiv. You had a little bit. Tuva. A lot to go and drink it, a whole gallon of it? Mi amri, I never said that that's allowed. And furthermore, when did I say it's permissible? Emer, the amri, I know, when I said it was not chayav, that's chay. That's when it wasn't diluted. It was pure vinegar. Mazug, but to dilute it like you guys did? Mi amri, I never said any such thing. You misquoted me. And he was upset that they all did the incorrect thing with the vinegar on Yom Kippur. This is a great big point. Start a new Mishnah tomorrow. With the next daf, with this we conclude today's share.